Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given us the honor and the privilege to come before you and to serve you in everything that we do. Just pray that, that your truth comes out today and helps us to better lead our lives in accordance with what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose everybody has memories from Halloween. If you grew up here, you couldn't very well avoid it. I can remember when I was very young, I couldn't have been more than four, being taken trick-or-treating. But that was the last time we ever did that. So when I got a little older, couldn't have been much older, I asked my mom, I said, well, I remember you taking me trick-or-treating. And she said, well, we didn't know any better then. So I remember another incident when I was going to the school there in Little Rock. There's a school for the blind there. And I was there briefly for a few years. They were going to have a little Halloween party. And the kids were going to get to dress up, go to the haunted house. My parents were having none of that. I wasn't allowed to participate. But we had a family that was staying with us in our house at that time. Now, why my parents allowed this to happen, I'm not sure. But he took it upon himself to help me that I was going to have a costume for school so that I could go and participate. And so we made this thing out of paper sacks and tinfoil. And if there had been a Facebook back then, I probably would never live that down. I remember the holes in the sack and the aluminum foil little triangle teeth made in the taped on the glued onto the sack. But that's my early memory of typical Halloween activities. Now, later on, we went to church at places that that had special things for the kids. It's not that we didn't have fun. It was just that some things were off limits. Because if you've been in the church for a while, you know that there's a big controversy around the holiday. Linda tells the story about meeting a seminary classmate at the car place and having a little girl. And she asked the little girl what she was going to do for Halloween, and she said, oh, we don't celebrate that. That's the devil's holiday. And certainly there are a lot of pagan customs that have come to us through Halloween that have an association with evil. All you have to do is look around today and see that has come through. But other people say, well, that's just harmless fun. Nobody's worshiping the devil. Even some churches do it, have Halloween parties and haunted houses. And there's even some Catholic church practices that are mixed in with the holiday. So there's not anything wrong with it. That's the other side of it. Boy, I have found over the years that the quickest way you can get just about anybody mad at you is to start challenging their traditions. Anything that has formed some sort of emotional attachment over the years, maybe pleasant memories from childhood or something that they're really into doing, you step on that, people get up in arms real quick. So what is the truth? How should we be looking at this holiday? It is, in fact, kind of a mix of pagan practice and really bad theology that has come to us throughout the years. It's also true that modern practice has left most of that behind. And most people are just clowning around. So what should Christians do? My advice is to enjoy the parts that are enjoyable without doing anything that's inappropriate. Avoid celebrating evil in any way. And find opportunities to use the time to share the gospel. That's what we're always supposed to be about anyway. A little bit of history then of the holiday, of its origin. It actually started back on the British Isles. And it was a festival that was held about the same time of year that was pronounced either Samhain or Samhain, depending on there's a couple different variations. And if you look at the spelling, it's not spelled anything like that. I visited London a few years ago, and a lot of their place names are like that. They don't say anything like they're spelled. This is spelled Samhain. But they believed that it was a time when the souls of dead people came back to earth. And so they would dress up in these costumes and light bonfires to fool them or drive them away. Then the Romans came along and conquered the Celtic tribes that were living there, and they brought some of their own customs in there. And that's where you get the Bobby for apples. They brought the apples and nuts with them because they had a goddess of fruits and nuts. Didn't she live in California?
Yeah.
but her name was Pomona. That, they brought all of that in and kind of mixed that in with the ceremony. That's where we get Bobby for apples. Well, then the Catholic Church came along. And Pope Gregory IV in 835 AD moved what became All Saints Day from the 13th of May to November 1st, which made October 31st the eve of All Saints Day. So thus the day before becomes, or the day becomes All Hallows Eve, All Hallows Day. Day before becomes All Hallows Eve, or Holy Evening, or Halloween. The Catholic Church now celebrates All Souls Day on November 2nd. So this three-day period collectively became known as All Hallowtide. And during this time, that was a time to memorialize saints that had gone on before and had passed away. Another thing that was done was that people, of course, the Catholics believed in purgatory, so they would take this time to pray for the souls that hadn't quite made it to heaven yet. And several practices out of this mishmash arose that have kind of given some shape to what we're seeing today. They would leave food out. Or they would either leave food out for the spirits of the dead, or some of them believe that the souls would come in to their house that had passed away before, and so they would even leave an empty place and put out food, and they would put out candles to guide the souls along their way. And of course, as the Catholic traditions came in, they would pray for the souls. You also had a lot of witchcraft and fortune telling and things like that were part of the ceremony. And even sometimes the local parish leaders, the local church leaders, would be in the middle of that. So where did we get trick-or-treating? You probably have heard several stories. And there seems to be some uncertainty as to how the practice that we have now came to be. But back in that time, we had groups of people that would go around doing what was called mumming or guising. And they would, in mumming particularly, they would entertain, dress up in these masks and in these costumes. And they would go on and they would entertain, and in exchange for their entertainment, they would get food. And then another thing they would do, though, since people believed in these spirits that were coming, they would pretend then to be the spirit. And, of course, they were then getting the food as a placation, as an offering to keep from having something bad happen. And then it started to turn ugly as some youths in Scotland and Ireland added some real tricks to the tree. And then you just started having people making mischief as monuments. And all of that came over into America via the Irish. Another custom, though, that was also popular, that probably came out of the same thing, involved poor children who would go around begging food. And they would in exchange for food, they were to pray for the souls of the dead relatives of the people that they would come to. And the people would make something called soul cakes, and they would put a little cross in them. I had not heard of this before, but I recently had heard of hot cross buns. Apparently that's where it comes from. Is that they would make these soul cakes and put a cross in it and give it to the children. They also did this on Christmas as well as during Halloween. The jack-o'-lanterns that you see actually were originally carved out of turnips. They didn't have pumpkins where they came from. They started carving pumpkins when they came here. They originally carved them out of turnips, though, and they would carry it around with a candle in it as a source of light as they're going around, and also because they thought that it would ward off the evil spirits. When the Irish came here, they found the pumpkins a lot easier to work with, although there is some thought that the pumpkin carving practice already existed here. I don't have any information on where that came from, but it only got associated with Halloween later in the 18th century. Another thing, though, that some people know about October 31st is that is also the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the doors of the Catholic Church. And if you know anything about Martin Luther, he was the one who saw what the church was doing at the time. He was upset by the corrupt practices they were involved in. And he also read his Bible and discovered that, well, we don't need an intermediator. Jesus is our intermediator. Jesus is the one that we go to. That we don't need to go through a priest, and that we're saved by our faith. And of course that led to the Reformation, and that led to, of course, the followers of Luther. We still have direct followers of Luther now, called, you know, the Lutheran Church. But they celebrate, and many other Christians will celebrate Reformation Day on October 31st, because that's the day that happened. So can we take anything, and we kind of got the history, and there's not a whole lot of it that's good, but what does the scripture tell us? Obviously, it doesn't say anything in there about Halloween, because Halloween didn't exist for another, at least 1,000 years, we could say. But it does give us some principles that we can apply in this situation as well as many others. And I think that the biggest thing that the Bible tells us is don't be messing around with people. Romans 13, 12, which is the only scripture actually we have up today. I'm going to read a couple others. But this is in the context of something else, but it fits very well with what we're talking about here. And he says that the night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Obviously, we're not to do evil, but we also should not be glorifying evil. We should not be glorifying the devil. And anything that's associated with the devil, we just ought not to do that. Now I realize a lot of people say, well, you know, there's no harm in dressing up like a ghost or something. It's a cartoon. It's not anything serious. And I don't have kids, so I always have, almost hesitate to say anything when people that actually have kids might have a different opinion or have, you know, what right have I got to speak? But I do know this. I do know that kids are watching you. That although you understand and they understand that we're just having fun, there is also a potential for them to become fascinated by the things that are hinted at. The occult practices, the things that really are true evil, and become fascinated with that and get drawn into that because we court it and we pretend like it's nothing. I think that one of the best disguises that the devil ever came up with was that silly cartoon character with the red tail and the red horns, because it minimizes him and makes people think that he's not anything we need to worry about. Meanwhile, he can go about his business. Now, most of the customs that are part of our current practice, though, are probably harmless. And we're free as Christians to participate in anything that doesn't directly challenge or refute something that God has told us. But there are some things that we as Christians ought to keep in mind. One of those things is we do not stand in judgment of somebody else who is faithfully trying to live out their lives the way that they feel that God wants them to. So you feel free to do certain things. It's not your place to judge somebody else, criticize them, because they don't feel like those things are open to them, and vice versa. If there is a question, then it is up. There's some things there's no question. But on those things that there's a question, it's up to that person with the relationship, and it's up to you with your relationship with the Lord to hear from the Lord and know what's appropriate for you. Romans chapter 14 is dealing with this in a very specific set of circumstances, but the principles involved can be applied more broadly. I'm just going to read from chapter 14, verse 4, which says, "Who are you to judge the servant of another? By his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, because the Lord is able to make him stand." Do everything that we need to do, everything that we do, as an act of love. He also says in verse 13, "Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in your brother's way." In other words, if something that we are doing causes, and you can apply this to any number of things that we might be free to do, but are not necessarily good for us to do, anything that we're doing that has the potential to cause somebody else to fall into sin, out of love for them, we ought not to be doing it. When in doubt, don't.
Amen.
That goes pretty well for just all kind of different things. And he says also in verse 23, he puts it this way, but he who doubts is condemned. And he's talking about eating certain types of foods here. But again, there's a general principle involved. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he's not eating from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. So in conclusion, what should we as Christians be doing? There's not really a whole lot good about the holiday. It does have pagan practice built into it. It does have roots in sort of an untasty mix of bad theology and pagan practice. And I think what happened is something that the Catholic Church often did. They tried to take the world's practice, and this is I'm not picking on the Catholic Church because we do it too. We take a worldly practice and we try to Christianize it and make it acceptable so that people really don't have to do anything different than they were doing before. They just get to do it and call it by some Christian name. They came in there and sort of adopted these practices and molded them to fit. And meanwhile, people continued on. And you can see that in the way that things are practiced today. Because, granted, most people aren't, don't believe necessarily in the spiritual side of some of what was been doing. But what has come across is not particularly holy. What has come down to us still has an awful lot of evil in it. Because you cannot mix good with evil and not have evil. So let's not glorify. But also, take the opportunity to take what Satan meant for evil and use it for good. It is okay to have fun. I think one of the saddest things as you look at how the world looks at Christians a lot of times, they've got this idea that we don't, that there's nobody can have any fun. Nobody can do anything that's enjoyable. But that's not true. And God certainly doesn't require us to live that way. So rather than just turning away and just saying, oh, we don't practice that, we don't do that, and having nothing to do with it. Obviously, we can have nothing to do with anything that's truly evil. But we can find ways of redeeming the day, redeeming the time. If you've got children, teach them about the Reformation. Teach them about the martyrs who have gone before during this time period. Try out alternative ways to have fun. I still remember going to church one time and they had, I don't even remember what they called it now, but it's still in my head, I guess because of all the candy and stuff that we got to take home. Probably what I remember since I like to eat so much. But we did the whole thing. We even bought for apples, I remember. I don't know that I would have that now because as I was reading about all of this, one of the little tidbits I picked up was that bobbing for apples was actually part of a fortune-telling ritual. I don't know if but again, kids sticking their head in a bucket and getting an apple is, they're not thinking about any of that anymore. It's old history. But at the same time, the principles apply. Enjoy the things that can be enjoyed. Don't get into glorified and practicing evil. I think that's good advice regardless of whether you're talking about Halloween or anything else that we're doing. So I hope that has been somewhat illuminating. I know we're anxious to get on, so I try not to go too long today. But Lord, I thank you that, as you have said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You have overcome the world, and you have given us a freedom. But Lord, show us how to use that freedom in ways that are redemptive, that glorify you, and that bring more people into your kingdom. In Jesus' name.